morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you are looking for some new attire for the summer, you may want to consider what, Greg Bach?
Going to civicmedia.us, clicking that shop or merch.
Merch button. No, I think it's shop.
The shop button.
The shop button.
I know stuff. The shop button. And looking for maybe a new t-shirt or a hat. We have both of those things in our shop. And I'm going to start lobbying for some cool other merch, too. We need stickers and stuff like that.
I think Matt Nair on Air stuff.
All Matt Nair on Air. Yeah, it's all easily. Yep. Civic Media, it's great. That's at the bottom. But
it's all about us.
It's big t-shirt that says, Loud Lady Laughers Welcome.
We don't know if our next guest is a Loud Lady Laugher, but she is welcome anyway. Kathy Nelson is here from the Pewaukee Public Library. Good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you hooked up with our very own Johnny Watermelon out at the Pewaukee Farmers Market the other day. And we love libraries. We love librarians. I have so many fond memories, and I thank my mother every day for our twice weekly trips to the library when I was a kid, and you got to pick out like four different books, which was the most wonderful thing in the world, and just established this love of reading for me, and that's how I traveled the world when I was a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, me as well. We would always visit the library. My home library when I was a kid was the Waukesha Library. So it was very exciting to go and get some new books. And now, gosh, the limit for checkout is, I mean, you couldn't carry as much as you could take out of the building. So yeah,
wow.
Pretty exciting stuff. Yeah.
So you can get more than four at a crack.
Absolutely. Yes. You might be able to fill your trunk.
Oh, that's great. Now, I know during the pandemic, I'm sure it was a very difficult time for any public space like that. Mm-hmm. Have you seen a lot of people come back to the library since then?
Yeah, it's been for the first couple of years, maybe a little bit of a slow turnaround, although we were during those times, we were doing curbside pickup. Which was a great feature that we were able to offer. We actually still do that, but it's been greatly reduced. A lot of people like to come in and browse for what they want. But yes, we have seen numbers ticking back up, people back in the doors. We had a summer kickoff in June, and I think we saw upwards of 400 people.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kelly, I think I know which library you're talking about. The one, we're right by it, actually. And I grew up here in Waukesha as well. And mm-hmm. I have a lot of fond memories of going to that library, looking for comic books and books about rock stars and things like that. It's just, it's such an easy way to create memories for young people too. And like you said, Jane, it gives you that desire to read more and to learn more, especially when you take them at a very young age and getting those fun, like, cardboard, what are they, board books. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You gotta start small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Small.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we always say, you know, it's never too young, and board books are the perfect way to put a young child on your lap and read to them and then continue that love of reading, you know, into adulthood.
That, too, though, is such a, I have such very specific memories of sitting on either my father or my mom's lap and them reading to me before you go to bed. You know, that was how you wind down a little mm-hmm. bit and take some of the energy off, and you sit and you rock and you read. And that bonding moment is so critical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, I still do that now. That's how I wind down and try to go to sleep. Got to pick up a book, and when the book falls on your face, you know it's time to stop.
I mean, that's a very good point. I have a problem sleeping. I have a problem falling asleep. And my brother-in-law said to me, he's like, "Well, what do you do when you go to bed?" And I'm like, "I usually like watch some TV or like look at my phone." He's like, "Stop doing that." He's like, "An hour before you go to bed,
get off the screen.
Get off the screen. Get the light out of your eyes, and then pick up a book. And even if you fall asleep while reading it, that's helping you to sleep, and you'll sleep better." And he's not wrong.
It's a way to decompress.
Yeah.
It's a way to decompress. And I think getting away from that screen light is so important because I notice the difference. If I play a game on my tablet for 20 minutes, then I'm awake for an hour and a half. And it's the difference of reading is just a different experience.
Yeah,
it's just a different experience. If you're just joining us, Kelly Nelson is our guest, and we're talking about the Pewaukee Public Library. The other thing, Kelly, that has changed so much, at least from when I was a kid, the library was the shh, quiet, I don't want to hear you. And now libraries are much more about being a community space, and they have community meeting rooms, and there's a lot more stuff, it seems like, that's going on at libraries.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we still have, we have study rooms, so if you want to have a quiet space, but we like to think of ourselves as that third space, the place that you can go that you do not have to buy a coffee to sit there for several hours. You can just hang out. But also, too, at the same time, you know, I talked about our kickoff. It wasn't exactly quiet in here that day. And, but we, when there's moments of loud or whatever, I like to think, you know, we're giving people the excitement for reading, for learning. And so, you know, we don't so much mind if kids are in the library and they're loud because they're excited to be there. And we want them to be excited to be there. We don't want to feel like we're pushing them out the door. So
thank you for the coming to library. Now I'm going to punish you. Be quiet.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that, I think may have been a past, you know, way of doing things, but, we definitely don't want to do that. I mean, we definitely still want to have it be a place where you can come and study. And like I said, we have study rooms for that. So you can kind of focus, get away from the house, and get some stuff done without looking at everything else in your house. But, yeah, we try to be all those different things as far as a community place goes.
Kelly, do you have any tips for parents whose kids maybe don't say they don't like to read? And sometimes I think we give them books that are of no interest to them. Here, read some James Joyce, which isn't going to happen probably in middle school, but
right.
But you know what I mean? It's like, here, I want you to read this classic piece of literature, Moby Dick. That might not be the best way to hook a child into reading.
Right. I would say, you know, encourage them to look at the different options out there. I think a lot of times, for example, we have a very large children's graphic novel collection. A lot of people see that and they think, well, it's just comics. This isn't reading, but it is reading. And it's just a different type of reading. And if that's what your child likes to read, encourage them to read that, you know, encourage them to read something that interests them. Or even if it's just, well, I like to look at the pictures of this nonfiction book that we have. That's great because it's getting them to open a book. And maybe someday down the line, they'll want to do James Joyce or maybe not. That's fine. But, you know, I mean, I think not necessarily saying, well, this is what you should be reading. Instead, just, you know, well, what are you interested in? And going from there.
I think that was something for me that was difficult. I wasn't a big reader. Now I consume books mainly in audio format because I drive a lot. But, you know, you always had those school books you had to read, whether it's Johnny Tremaine or Of Mice and Men. And it was always difficult because I felt like I had been thrown into literature and I never really came up through the ranks of like fun books into more serious.
Work your way up to this.
It's like I'm not reading, and now I'm reading like hard tales of 30s America.
And now I'm being punished.
Yeah, exactly. And now I have to write a report about it tomorrow. And guess what? I didn't read the book.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the thing too, is like, is encouraging kids to listen to audio, because I know like nowadays you could, I mean, I have the Libby app. I love the Libby app. It's a free app. You can download your phone. You can access your consortium of libraries and you can find thousands of audiobooks. I mean, I don't hear people really talking to kids about audiobooks. Is that something we that recommend, or is it just get them learning or reading in any way, shape or form?
Yeah. I think half of what I read, it contains audiobooks, because I do say audiobooks are reading. But yes, I would
say. Thank you.
we would have, yeah, for sure. I mean, we have things called Wonder Books. It's basically a cartridge built right onto a picture book where, like, it'll read the story to you as you turn the page.
Oh.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a great thing.
Yep.
You know, so I think audiobook listening, even for kids, is another way to engage them. And then maybe someday down the line, they'll pick up the physical book too. But yeah, I don't think it's bad for sure.
Don't pick up James Joyce. It's not, I had it in college. It's not not worth it. It was agony. I hated that class.
Jane, you really opened up something here that we weren't.
Please don't make me read. How do you, book.
Ernest Hemingway? What, any classics?
That's a whole nother show. Complaining about Ernest. Kelly Nelson is with the Pewaukee Public Library. We only got a couple of minutes left. Kelly, anything coming up yet over the rest of the summer that you'd like to let us know about that's happening there?
So we are finishing up our summer reading challenge. So people can still get in, sign up. We have great challenges for all ages. Adults can win prizes to local restaurants, and kids can get coupons and free books. So that's always great. And then we're just getting ready for fall. Story times are always a fun time, and other great events for all ages.
Do you use many volunteers at the library?
A lot during the summer, because we always have a lot going on in the summer. And then we do also have volunteers that come in regularly and help us cover books, clean DVDs, those kinds of maintenance things that just have to be done.
We always talk about if you are single and lonely and you are looking to get involved and maybe you don't want it, you know, there's all kinds of volunteer opportunities. But
need service hours.
Yeah, if you need service hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a great way to get involved and do something and be out with people a little bit. Check out the Pewaukee Public Library. Kelly Nelson has been our guest. Thank you so much for joining us, Kelly. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah! Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Calby on the board. You can always join us. We are coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. Give us a call, send in a text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin pretty much on a daily basis. I'm very glad to have you with us. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Bradcliffe joining us after the 11:30 news, and then we're going to wrap things up as we do every Thursday with a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot and find out we have some hot weather coming.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's going to be specifically just here in southeastern Wisconsin, but Brittany will bring us up to speed for what's going to be coming over the weekend and then into next week, so stay tuned for that. Really lovely having Kelly Nelson on from the Pewaukee Public Library.
Yeah.
She joined us just before we went to that short break. And you were talking about this app that you use, and I had also never heard of that. And John on the live stream, John Kay said, Greg, do you have a link or a screenshot of that Libby app? What is that?
I can try to find a link. It's an app for your phone. So here's what you're going to do.
Okay.
I've explained apps before. So if you have a smartphone, you should have a smartphone. Go to your application distribution center of choice, whether it's the App Store on Apple or Google Play Store,
okay,
and type in L-I-B-B-Y, Libby.
Libby.
Like the name Libby, L-I-B-B-Y.
So it's a nickname for library.
Oh, yeah, it is. Way to go, Jane. All right. You type that in. You download it. It's going to be like a little red app with what seems like a kid reading a book. You download that app. Now, here is where it is a little involved. I will not lie. You have to then sign into it using your public library information, because that's how you're going to access your consortium.
So you need to have a library card.
You need to have a library card, which, hey, if you don't have one, you can, I think you can sign up on, you can sign up for a temporary one online and still use the Libby app, but then you have to go into your library and get a permanent one.
Okay.
So it requires you having a library card number. Don't be afraid to go to your local library and have them walk you through the process. I had to do it once because it got a little confusing, but you download Libby, you put in your information, you pick your library consortium. It can be yours in your county. You can pick Milwaukee. You can pick whatever you want, honestly. And then it will open you to the access of all these books, whether it is audiobook. I think you can download ebooks on there. I never have done it, but like you can download tens of thousands of audiobooks. Some are on hold. Like if you're like getting a popular new biography, like a Michelle Obama book, you might be waiting 6 months, but you're still in line and it will deliver it to you on your phone. And you can listen to it. You get 2 weeks and then it comes off your phone. You can place like, you know, holds on them. You can renew if you can, if they allow you to do that. Sometimes you cannot because the book is hot and they want to get it to the
sure,
person.
Sure.
But yes, download Libby, put in your information, and then start listening and or reading. And if you need help, go to your local library and they will walk you through the process.
And again, you are going to need an actual library card. I would suggest if you don't have a library card, go to the library, get your card, and then help have them help you
correct
download this Libby, and it's Libby. Mm-hmm. Download this Libby app. Resident young person, Calvin.
Oh, yeah. Well, fancy Brian Kelly just informed me that not only can you listen to audiobooks on the Libby app, you can also read the text of the books on the Libby app as well. Yeah. So that's pretty neat.
Oh,
so
nice.
They have audio and ebooks. I don't do ebooks because that's just too small on my phone. I love an audiobook, and for me driving, I drive 4 or 5 counties a day, twice
yeah.
a day.
Yeah, you're on the road a lot.
And I'm listening to, I'm powering through sometimes 3, 4, 5 books a month. And it's great. It's absolutely great. You know, I also have Audible. I also buy my Audible books or audiobooks. But if you don't want to do that, Libby is a great start. And they have all different kinds of genres, all different levels of interest, fiction, nonfiction, biography, histories. Check it out. I'm not being paid by the Libby people.
Although we are looking for sponsors for this program.
Yeah, if you
program.
Want to, you know, that's, Jane, we can talk about that for a moment. I've heard some other personalities in the civic media universe have things like, we're giving you the blah, brought to you by blah, blah, blah. I'm like, where is the people bringing us like, you know, Weather and Wine brought to you by
Chardonnay.
Chardonnay and the people who make the cheese, the famous people.
Sargento.
Sargento and Chardonnay. We're just sitting here pounding wine and eating blocks of
you
cheese.
You want to get your company's name out there, consider yeah. sponsoring Matt Nair on air. It's just a suggestion, you know, it's a thought.
Yeah, you know, I'm the resident young person here, but I'm going to be the old timer. Nothing beats an actual physical book in your hand.
I love hearing that.
That's great, Calvin, and I love that. But for me personally, it's hard to say I can read. I have the ability to read. Don't laugh at me. But reading for me is incredibly difficult. I have a really hard time doing it.
Well, and it's not for everybody. Yeah. And like Kelly said, it doesn't necessarily mean you can get this information yeah. and that still qualifies as reading. You are absorbing information. So even if it's coming to you in audio form, you are still absorbing the information. So I think that's fine.
I agree. But the weird thing is there is judgment.
Don't be judgy like that.
Thank you very much.
To Greg's point, though, I'm the complete opposite. I cannot listen. I just don't retain, especially a story, because I'm a pretty quick reader, so mm-hmm. one, it's kind of slow for me, and then also, I like reread paragraphs or sentences a lot. And
if you want to go back, yeah. Robert on the live stream is asking, is the Libby just an app or is it a web page? It's just an app.
I believe it's just an app, but like I can check right now as you all are talking to yourselves.
Robert, too, also says he's got ADD, which makes it difficult to read. My mind wanders after a page or two. So
yeah.
an audio might be the way for you to go, Robert. And another comment from John. I'm so conflicted. I drive a lot for work and I always have civic media on, which we love.
We love that.
But maybe this is an option for weekend road trips.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And honestly, I go between the radio, I'll listen to audiobooks, and I'll listen to podcasts. Because like sometimes I just like, I can't do another book right now.
Yeah.
I need to change it up a little bit. And then, you know, go back and forth. So do your thing. And yeah, I do the same thing though, Calvin. I'll miss something and I'll rewind it. Like, what did they say? What are they talking about? What? How come they have this opinion now? Yeah. So,
whatever you do,
all about it. Libby for life.
However you do it.
Yeah.
If you read a book, if you read on a tablet, if you listen to a book, it's all good. Libby is the name of the app.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get some kind of thing in the show notes.
I'll put it into the website that sends you to the app. So.
Okay. And if you ever want to find our show notes and you want to listen to episodes of the show, just go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matt and Air on Air, click on that, and that will take you to our page, which has every episode of every show. Greg does a great job on the show notes to give you some idea of some of the guests that we had and other information in their articles and other related things as well. All right, we have news coming up next. And then when we come back, journalist about...
Wow.
Blah, blah, blah. Boing. Journal Sentinel's sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe, will be here to talk all things sports. Words are hard.
You did it. Words Calvin, she did it.
Stay close. You're listening to Man on the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers are off today, tomorrow night. The crew hosting the Marlins. The game broadcast starts at 6:35. You can listen to the game on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, also on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. Brewers in action tomorrow night, hosting the Marlins at 6:35. He joins us every other Thursday at this time. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. Good morning, J.R. How you doing?
Good morning. I am doing quite well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good.
Peachy.
I am excited about the Olympics, which get underway officially tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's the gymnastics that I love. This is every 4 years I get to practice my fake I stuck the landing move, and I've been building up to this moment, so I think I'm ready.
I don't even have a pretend fake stick the landing. I've never turned a cartwheel in my life.
Neither have I.
So, I'm not even in the same realm. I'm just awestruck that people can contort their bodies while airborne in that way. I will, of course, be watching the gymnastics as well. One of the coaches, Chelsea Memel from West Allen, will certainly get some screen time. So,
she's one of the coaches now. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after she's an Olympic athlete in her own right, of course, and 2008 won silver with the team. So, so it's a pretty good career she's got going.
And we have a weightlifter there too from Wisconsin, right? Is it powerlifter?
Yep, that's right. We have a lot of you're thinking of Mary Lappin.
Yeah.
Mary Thiessen Lappin. The weightlifting competition is like one of the very last things. I think she maybe competes on the last day of the Olympics. But we've got rowers, Greg. We've got a fencer. We've got judo. We obviously have basketball players, including Giannis, competing for Greece. We've got a couple swimmers for all different countries, a couple of Milwaukeeans swimming for Gambia and Sudan. So there's definitely a wide breadth of Olympic athletes from Wisconsin.
I heard a special piece about fencing And I have to say, I am somewhat disappointed that they begin by saying, okay, fence. What happened to En Garde? Come on, yeah. bring.
Who speaks French nowadays?
I don't care. Just, but that should, En Garde is much better than, okay, fence. That just seems anticlimactic.
All right, do it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Stick
here is my French disappointment already for the week is because because some things are already underway. I was watching rugby, sevens rugby yesterday, live on TV. A game, of course, that I understand completely and totally right. and have a full right. breadth of knowledge on after watching 15 minutes of it. The French have this massive human being, and I think he's very good. Having watched the sport, I am led to believe that maybe they did win. I'm not even sure how the scoring works, but I was like, what is that guy's name? He's incredible. So I looked him up, and his name is Joseph Jefferson Lee. Jefferson Dash Lee. I'm like, that's not a French name. What, even if we say Joseph or Joseph Jefferson Lee, like, come on now.
His name is Frenchman rugby player. That's his.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed, but believe me, I am a big Joseph Jefferson Lee fan. The jersey is in the mail. I'm very excited about
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't it be funny if just all of the Olympic sports did that? Like they started like, they just go, rugby. All right.
Yes.
Swim.
Right.
Tumble.
Just use En Garde for everything.
For everything.
I think it should just be applicable to everything.
Especially in France. We've yes. got to say En Garde.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure people are just walking around saying it, as well as like baguette and chapeau. And
oh, everyone sounds like Maurice Chevalier.
Baguette, yes.
They love Americans that come visit their country and walk around using their expressions. They love that. I know this from firsthand experience.
Especially when you fake their accent. Nothing will endear you more. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
True.
And by the way, I don't know if you know this, JR, but Maggie Dawn, who has her show from 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie used to play rugby.
Oh, very
that
good.
Well, makes a 6'2" amount of sense. Yes. She is a very tall, like I can see her just running down the field.
I'm sure she was great. So maybe you two can connect sometime so she can explain it because it is very confusing as far as the rules and what are rules and what's the goal for pity's sake. I would start with someone explaining that.
Well, I do know a little about it. I undersold it a little bit, but still not a lot. I would love a refresher. One of our old babysitters went to Divine Savior Holy Angels, which has an incredible rugby program. They are routinely national champions. So she was a player. She won a national title. So, you know, there's a little background there. There's a little bit. I know some of the terminology in French. I'm gonna try to learn it in French so I can say it.
Oh God, JR, what are you doing? No, it's too late to take this on. It's too late.
JR Radcliffe is our guest. He's from the Journal Sentinel. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports balls. We're talking about the Olympics, which officially get underway tomorrow. There are some they do keep adding things, and some more kind of outside the expected sports kinds of things. So is breakdancing a thing this year?
Breakdancing, first year in the Olympics. It's here. Yeah, the program is constantly shifting. And like baseball and softball showed up for a couple cycles and then was gone again. You know, like things get voted on regularly. So, but yes, breakdancing, keep an eye peeled for that. I'm trying to think there was another one that was added too. And it's off the tip of my tongue right now. But
professional slapping?
There's no professional slapping. I will say breakdancing is a deeply athletic pursuit. I did not realize that many countries would have sponsored it as an official sport for it to be an official sport. But, you know, there's always a learning curve for Americans. The sports that we value are very different than other countries.
Yeah.
You know, you know, Greco-Roman wrestling is an example. We have an American who's from Elkhorn, a Wisconsinite from Elkhorn, named Peyton Jacobson, who's competing in Greco-Roman. That around the world is the style of wrestling. It is the way that most European countries, like their best wrestlers, do that. He didn't even, there's only one college, Northern Michigan, in the United States that sponsors Greco-Roman wrestling. So he didn't even have like competitions in college. It was essentially sort of this insulated Team USA training ground because it's the only place that really recognizes and sponsors and nurtures that sport. So he disappeared off the high school map in Wisconsin. He didn't win any state titles because that's a different style of wrestling. He just kind of reemerged. And I'm like, really? Who is this guy out of Elkhorn? come to find out, he's been doing this for a long time. He got into Greco-Roman, thought it suited him well, and now he's going to be in the Olympics. But in the United States, no one really sees that style of wrestling. I mean, so that's just another example.
We only care about three sports, and I venture to say only one sport, unless your team is winning. Because like I have friends who, once football starts, they stop caring about the Brewers, who, by the way, are in first place in their division. They will just throw them to the ground and be like, no, I don't care about that anymore. I care about football.
It was their bridge sport.
Exactly. By the way, someone sent a text in saying Maggie actually won a national championship in rugby while at Marquette, which makes sense. She has a national championship.
And I think that's how she got her nose broken like three times too. Because it's such a gentle sport, rugby. Oh, yeah. They're so careful.
And when they're done playing, they're such a gentle people. They don't go out and
party.
Oh my God, I couldn't keep up with them. I could not. It was impossible.
That's the thing about rugby, where they get together after every match and have a meal and stuff. It's an extremely high level communal. Yeah. That's the wrong word. Communal sport. I don't know. It's like curling. Like you compete, but really you're just there to drink and have fun and like eat together and stuff. It's wild. It's a really interesting, just a really interesting culture.
It's funny that you mentioned curling, because we've talked to the Coupe League in Eau Claire,
cool. Okay.
which just had their big tournament, and we talked to one of the members of the teams was the Flux Capacitors, and they came in 17th out of 144, which I still think is very respectable.
That was the
Coupe League championships that happened a couple of weekends ago in Eau Claire. That's a big thing up there.
Yeah, it's a big Coupe deal.
Big Coupe deal. Speaking of the Brewers, so Prince Fielder's son is signing with the team.
Yep, Jaden Fielder. He's 19 years old. I remember him very well when he was just a wee lad with a giant poofy fro of hair that running around the clubhouse. Jaden and his brother Haven were around a lot when Prince Fielder was here. Definitely clubhouse staples. And now, you know, in today's here's what's going to make you feel old today. He's now 19 years old, a slugger, left-handed batter, and he's signed a deal with the Brewers organization. You know, he's not going to be on the team immediately or anything. This is just he's going to go into their minor league system and everything like that. But yes, the next generation, third generation.
In the organization. God, I'm going to be watching a third generation of fielders eventually. Oh my good gravy.
Yeah.
Are you going to be at the game tomorrow, JR?
I don't believe so. No, it's a pretty busy weekend for me. But Ryan Braun is going into the Walk of Fame this weekend on Sunday. I think I'm going to make it to Sunday's game. Right. So that'll be something people can look forward to this weekend. And they hopefully can find some offense, because they just lost their best hitter for what sounds like a very, very long
time. I was going to say bad news about Christian Yelich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's as bad as it gets, honestly. I mean, they've had injuries this year. They've had pitching injuries and stuff like that. It's maybe a little bit snake bitten, although I would argue not more than any other team. But losing Christian Yelich is really tough, especially because their offense has not been good lately. It's really been scratching. Now they've won four or five out of the All-Star break. You can't say they haven't gotten the job done, but I think they could really easily be 0-5. Like they have gotten some lucky breaks in every one of these wins. Yeah. Their offense is they just have to work so hard right now for runs. This stuff comes and goes, but losing your unquestionably your best hitter, that's not something they can just make up, not something they can fix at the trade deadline. They're not going to go out and sign and acquire Vladimir Guerrero Jr., one of the big ticket guys. That's just not how they do business. And there's hope he could be back by the end of the year, but you know, well, we'll see. I mean, there is a scenario. I won't say there's hope. There's a scenario where he could be back, and I just am kind of fearing for the worst there.
I love seeing the wins, but when I see those 7-8 wins and those 4-5 wins, I'm like, oh, that is hoping with all hope and trying to get those last runs in. But I don't want winning like that. Just it makes me nervous, because if the offense goes even further south, then that's gonna be the ball game, literally.
Yeah. And every team has a lot of one run games. I mean, the good teams are very good in one run games, because it means they have a good bullpen and good defense and maybe some luck on their side. That's a big part of a baseball season too. The Brewers defense is still really good. Defense doesn't slump. So that's something you can say that they have. And they have a 6-game lead. Like you said, they're in first place. They have never been this many games ahead in first place this late in the season and not won the division. The only time it's happened is when they've won the division. So they are in pretty heady territory. We're getting to a place here soon where it would take a historic collapse for them to you know, for them to not win this division. And I'm sure there are people out there being like, yeah, well, I follow the Brewers. I know what, you know, I've seen collapses before, but legitimately that just doesn't happen very often. And it's even without Yelich, they're in really, really good shape still to make the playoffs.
Well, we still have Pat Murphy, baby.
Tempt not the baseball gods. Be careful. It's like taunting the weather gods.
I've been thinking about the year 2014 all season long. Which is season. So I am doing my due diligence on both sides of that equation.
How old is Christian Yelich?
32 years old.
Right. I knew that.
And this would be, by the way, the best 32-year-old season in Brewers history for any player 32 or older. There's... maybe you could argue Russell Branyan had one when he had like 130 at bats, but if somebody he's well over 300 at bats, it is by OPS the best age 32 or older season in Brewers history. That includes Robin Yount, Paul Molitor.
Wow,
all of it. It's that level of good.
Someone's going to the Walk of Fame someday.
Definitely the Walk of Fame. Probably not the Hall of Fame because he just couldn't stay healthy and continue what he was doing in 18 and 19. But he has been so valuable for them. And there's a lot of years of him left. You know, he's still here till he's 37 years old on the current contract. So they do need him healthy again.
Just a reminder, Brewers hosting the Marlins tomorrow night at AmFam Field. Broadcast starts at 6:35. And you can catch the game on 98Q Country WCQM in Park Falls, on WISS Oshkosh Air Support, and news from the center, WRCE in Richland Center. The Marlins at the Crew tomorrow night, 6:35, broadcast start. J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk about all things sports. We'll see you in a couple, J.R., and on guard for everything.
On guard.
On guard.
Fence.
Enjoy the Olympics. I will see you later.
We have weather and wine with Brittany Merlot on the way next. It's National Wine and Cheese Day.
Yeah, it is.
How perfect can that be? Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. The EAA is going on in Oshkosh. That's where Brittany Merlot is joining us from, and we'll get to her in just a minute, though. Terry Barr from Civic Media, who is the genie of just about everything, is doing some great pieces on what's happening in Oshkosh during the EAA. Kevin, let's take a quick listen.
Create your own experience. With more than 1,000 workshops, EAA is a place to be involved. There's even a 5K race on the runway.
You actually get to run around the Air Venture grounds. You get to see a pretty good tour of it on foot. It's a great experience. You get to see everything, and then you get a ticket to the show, too. So you get to experience all the sights and sounds when you're not competing, trying to set a personal record.
EAA's Drew Stefani. Build your schedule at EAA.org. I'm Terry Barr.
Terry Barr, Civic Media's genie of just about everything, doing some special reporting while the EAA goes on in Oshkosh. And that's where our meteorologist friend is, Brittany Merlot. Happy National Wine and Cheese Day. I'm surprised you don't have the day off.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that was today.
Yes.
I should be off, but hey, this is fun.
So what's going on up there?
Oh, it is crazy. There are just planes flying everywhere. They're doing air shows during the day, air shows at night. Last night, they just had their first drone show. It was pretty cool. They had drones literally lit up as in the formation of airplanes, and they were moving around. then planes would fly over, shooting off fireworks and mock dropping bombs, and then just explode on the ground. It was a rush. They put on a show here into Oshkosh area. I mean, if you've never been, I highly suggest checking it out at least once.
Well, then you better make your plans right now to attend next year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people come from all over the world to this event in Oshkosh, and lodging can be a little tricky. So you got to you gotta start planning in advance if you do plan on checking out the EAA.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They do have a campground here, but it is sold out.
I bet.
There was campers just lined up along the road. Yeah, yeah.
What are we looking at for the forecast? I mean, it's EAA wraps up on Sunday?
Yes, it does. So as we go through the next few days, it's actually looking beautiful. I mean, blue skies, high pressure system overhead, just nothing to worry about at all. There's a nice little breeze, too. As we go through the weekend, a little bit of mugginess and humidity is going to start to leak into the state. So expect that on the rise. And it will start to feel a little bit more uncomfortable. Temperatures will be into those low to mid 80s this weekend. And, of course, by Sunday night, we are looking at chances of some showers and storms pushing in. But that's not until the weekend's over. So it looks beautiful for the next few days.
Are those storms, though, going to bring in some really hot weather?
Yes, they are. That is when it's going to get really, really muggy and hot. So, I mean, temperatures into that are going to be into like 90s potentially.
That you should see all our faces here, Brittany. It's just
thanks,
like,
Brittany.
That was really,
weather's amazing.
Such good news. We're so glad to hear that.
Andrew on the live stream said he heard that a B-52 nicknamed Buff landed at the EAA. Is that true? Did you see it?
I did see that. The Blue Angels also buzzed over yesterday. Just one flyby. If you missed it, they were gone.
I just think it's very interesting. You said that this morning too. It's like, oh, we got to make it to the EAA just one time over, and then we got to head to Ohio.
Yeah, we have other, well, and which probably took him about 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Zoom. How long are you up there, Brittany? Are you staying through the weekend?
Yes, I'm going to be staying here through the weekend because for me, you know, I've been trying to become a pilot, and this is just family life for me. It's a big family reunion. Everyone just is so friendly, so it's hard to explain, but I'll be here all week.
So have you taken flying lessons?
Yes, I have. And actually, this event got me hooked on it. I always wanted to be a pilot. You know, my eyes are always in the sky anyways, forecasting.
Right.
Being up there was always just so freeing and fun. And then to actually have your hand on the wheel, in a sense, is amazing.
So you have to put in a lot of hours, though, in order to qualify for your pilot's license, right?
Yes, you do. You got book work. You got to put in a lot of hours, and that costs a lot of money, and it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I'm working on it.
Well, you're going to do it, lady, because you managed to master all the math involved in meteorology, and I know that there's a lot of math involved in aerodynamics and flying. So it might take you a little bit, but you will get there, and then we are all going to expect plane rides from you.
Absolutely, 100%. You're first on the list.
Yeah, I'll be co-pilot of snacks.
It's a very important position.
Yeah.
Very, very important position.
Someone finally understands.
If people are listening, Brittany, and they have also thought about getting their pilot's license in the couple of minutes that we have left, where's the best place to start with something like that?
Your local regional airport is probably the best place to start. Honestly, you could walk right in there. There's probably a training class. You could just Google it as well. Or, obviously, EAA is a great place to meet people if you want to land a job. I know that commercial airlines are also hiring, and they move you really quickly through the process of getting your commercial license. So there's so many options. Definitely Google or AOPA is a good place to go to as well. And
Brittany, did we lose you? I think we just
lost you. Are
you there? Oh, there you are. Now you're back. We lost you for just a second.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. And again, once this hot weather, this 90-degree weather moves in next week, is that going to make us hot and dry for the foreseeable future?
Are we talking long-term as we go into like the next few weeks or so?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't looked that far, to be honest with you. I've been stuck at this event, and my internet is bad.
And there are planes everywhere.
There are planes everywhere. Well, we will touch base with you next Thursday at 11:50, so you can give us an update once you're out of the EAA. I hope you have a wonderful time, Brittany. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy National Wine and Cheese Day. It's a special day
thank you so much.
Just for you. news is coming up next. Stay close. Thank you, Greg and Todd and Calvin and everyone for keeping us on the air. Our engineers, thank you to you most of all for, I'm falling apart. Calling and texting and listening, it means the absolute world. I hope you find some joy today. I mean it, and you have the chance to share it. News is next. Todd, after that, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.